Being popular and staying popular are two different achievements. Each, though, has its challenges, whether you're a straight-laced high school senior or a rock star in decline. Hi, I'm Dan Webster, host of Movies 101. And on this week's show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I will discuss a pair of movies that tackle one or the other of these situations. I'm talking about the schoolgirl buddy comedy Booksmart and the rock and roll drama Her Smell. In addition to our reviews of those films, Nathan will give us a feel for his recent visit to the 2019 Seattle International Film Festival, which runs through June 9th. So don't touch that dial, because another edition of Movies 101 is coming up next, right here on Spokane Public Radio.
This one was composed by, as he's known in Ireland, Mick Jagger and Keith Richard. Mick Jagger and Keith Richard, the composition goes like this.
Hi, this is Dan Webster, host of Movies 101. Join me, Nathan Weinbinder, and the spokesman reviews Carolyn Lamberson at 7 p.m. on June 12th at the Bing Crosby Theater, when we will host a special screening of the 1968 concert documentary Monterey Pop.
Don't miss our display of memorabilia from the 60s provided by 4,000 Holes. Thanks also to event donors The Cleaning Authority, Strong Solutions, and Vino, a wine shop. Monterey Pop at the Bing Crosby Theater, June 12th at 7.
For tickets, call 325-SEAT or visit any Tickets West outlet. It should rock the house.
I see people walking by, dressed in their colorful clothes. I see them strolling by, my happiness
Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Nathan Weinbinder, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that is a champion of all film festivals, most especially the Spokane International Film Festival. Second, though, has to be the annual Seattle International Film Festival, which is going on right now in several venues in and around that big city on the Sound. Last week, Nathan spent several days watching SIFF movies, and we're anxious to hear his report. Before that happens, though, the three of us will take a look at two recent openings, the comedy Booksmart, and the tale of a fading rocker titled Her Smell. Let's begin with a look at two girls facing the final night of their high school career. Over the years, many movies have explored the high school experience. Most, such as Risky Business and Say Anything, have focused on boys. Others, exemplified by the John Hughes collection, including The Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink, have given equal weight to girls. But Booksmart, directed by the actress-turned-first-time feature filmmaker Olivia Wilde, is all girl. It keys on two brainiacs, best pals who have rejected the high school party life to ensure their acceptance at good universities, you know, Yale and the like. But fearing that they have made a mistake, they decide, on the night before their graduation, no less, to attend a party that promises to be the year's best. Only, as happens, they face one obstacle after another, just finding out where the party is being held. En route, Booksmart ends up being not just a worthy addition, but an actually original addition to the ranks of serio-comic coming-of-age studies.
I'm going to begin by saying I loved this movie. It just felt authentic. It was funny. It captured so many aspects of coming-of-age girlhood on the cusp of adulthood scenarios. And I guess I related to this movie, as I did to some extent with Lady Bird, because I was probably more in that category of kid who didn't really party excessively in high school, but rather saved all my misadventures for college. The best part about this film, I think, is the relationship between the two protagonists, Molly and Amy. And I think that you will recognize Molly, who's Beanie Feldstein, who was in Lady Bird.
And we should point out that Lady Bird is the Greta Gerwig film from a couple of years ago.
Correct. And she's also the sister of Jonah Hill. Mm-hmm. And so she has a best friend who's played by
Caitlin Dever.
Thank you. I could, you know, I'm always struggle with the Caitlin name for some reason. I don't know why.
There's a lot
even
of them.
In class. Yeah, there are a lot of different spellings. I can certainly attest to that.
I could see that you were searching for the name and I was right there for you.
You were, because you're my helper boy.
Anytime.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. But this really focuses on one day, one night in the lives of these two girls. And it really is their decision to break free before college. And they stumble upon all of these different characters, misadventures, and so forth. And the cast is populated with these quirky characters, most notably the Gigi character played by Billy Lord, who for some reason is this ubiquitous presence in everything that they try to do.
And if we're talking about relatives and offspring of famous people, Billy Lord is famously the daughter of Carrie Fisher. We also have Mason Gooding in here, who's the meathead vice president to Beanie Feldstein's Goody Two Shoes president, who's the son of Cuba Gooding Jr. So there are a lot of Hollywood royalty types
right
in here.
But Nathan, I'm going to rely on you to talk a little bit about Olivia Wilde, because I love when people come out of the blue, at least in my opinion, and do something that is this amazing as their directorial debut.
Yeah, and I guess she's had a history making music
shorts,
videos,
yeah,
and short films, and Booksmart is her debut feature as a director. And the thing that's been getting a lot of hype around Booksmart are the performances and the script, which I think are deserving. And the script here is credited to four people, which whenever I see a lot of writing credits, I kind of brace
cringe,
myself.
Yeah.
But the script here is really strong. Susanna Vogel, Katie Silberman, Emily Halpern, and Sarah Haskins are the credited writers here. But I think that Olivia Wilde has a really nice visual sense. This movie, I think, is beholden to a lot of films that came before
absolutely
it. A lot of
say anything.
Sure. A lot of movies that maybe don't hold up, at least in terms of maybe their cultural cachet or their sexual politics,
mm-hmm,
because this is kind of a one crazy night movie. And I was thinking a lot of Superbad all the way through it, and
oh,
not just
course,
because
yeah,
Jonah Hill's
yeah
sister is one yeah of the stars here. But I think that this movie is really well shot. And there's these moments near the end of Booksmart where I was really noticing the cinematography. There's a scene where one of the characters has this heartbreaking realization about a relationship that she thinks she's going to have. And it happens wordlessly underneath mm-hmm the water of a swimming pool. There's a moment when our two main characters have a fight that could potentially end their relationship. And as the argument intensifies, the volume goes down and the music comes up. And it's all done in one shot that just kind of pans back and forth between the two of them. And I thought those kinds of moments really emphasize the fact that this is not just a smart script that Olivia Wilde has just filmed as it were on the page. There's a lot of style here, a lot of flash, but I think that the authenticity of the characters comes through, even when the dialogue is sort of arch and even when the plot developments go into the realm of teen movie fantasy land.
Yeah, fantasy,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I think what was most impressive about this is you're talking about movies holding up or not. I mean, this felt like, although it's set in this particular time period, it could have been a time from 40 years ago
yep
or 25 mm-hmm years ago. Mm-hmm. I think of Clueless and so forth.
Yeah.
Because it really captured the intensity of these relationships that people have at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And these girls were so nice to one another. I mean, back and forth sometimes. They didn't let one another slide for any missteps. But I just thought it was really sweet and funny and gritty at times. And I think the term raucous has been used in
sure
contrast to Lady
right
Bird.
And another thing I appreciated was there are no bad people in this film. There are people who do things that are thoughtless, the kind of stuff that you do when you're 17 or 18 years old and you just don't think things completely through. But there's nobody who's truly evil. There's no mean girls. There's none of that stuff. To use the word both of you, I think, have used, there's a sense of authenticity to this film that even I, 50 years removed from high school, I recognize things in Booksmart that would have made me cringe at the time. And yet at the same time, I feel so familiar and it's just so well done.
And I think that a lot of that has to do with the camaraderie of the stars, Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein, who I think are so perfectly cast in this
mm-hmm
film. And we've seen them in other roles. And I think these felt like they were written just for them. And I know that that wasn't the case. But I think that the casting throughout this movie is great. I want to call out some of the supporting characters who come in and have almost one-scene cameos and then vanish, but what impressions they make. I really liked this kid, Skylar Gazondo, who plays this rich kid loser who's throwing his own graduation party on a yacht, and yet no one wants to go because he's such a joke. And then
How about his friend Gigi?
And Gigi, who's played by Billy Lord, who we mentioned earlier, who seems to exist on another plane of reality entirely and manages to just be everywhere at once. And that's one of the running jokes in this movie. And then there's also Noah Galvin and Austin Kroot as the two overeager drama kids who at one point we stumble into their murder mystery party that's just way too method. And then you also have some of the adult characters. So Will Forte and Lisa Kudrow are Caitlin Dever's parents. But then you have Jason Sudeikis, who is married to the director, Olivia Wilde, and plays the principal who's checked out already. And his role is almost like Tina Fey's role was in Mean Girls, where he is this, well, the principal in this case, so he's a teacher at the school, but we see his life outside of the school. And then Jessica Williams, who was previously on The Daily Show, she's sort of the young, hip English teacher that they think they might have a friendship outside of school, and she might be a little too close to her students. I wasn't totally convinced by her plotline in Booksmart,
but she's
really good. And so I think that it's the cast in this movie that really works, and there are a lot of unknown actors in this movie, too. I've heard Olivia Wilde in interviews talk about the casting process and how she sort of formed these characters around the personalities of the actors as she found them, and I think that really comes through in Booksmart.
Well, you were talking earlier about the visual style. There's one sequence here where the girls turn into Barbie dolls, and I thought that could have gone sideways so easily, but the way that it was presented and the context in which it arose just seemed to work. So I'm a huge, huge fan of this film.
I liked it a lot, too. I don't know if I would go so far as to call it great, but because I do think that some of its plot beats are not only overfamiliar, but I don't think really hold water. But it does exist in this middle ground between reality and fantasy. Another movie I was thinking about, one of my favorite cult movies, which is Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Yes.
And of course, Lisa Kudrow is in both films, in the sense that there is this heightened sense of reality that it's veering into fantasy every once in a while. These characters kind of walk around like they are in a music video. So I think if you let that play out, it doesn't really matter when one of the characters ends up in jail and then just ends up out of jail without anybody seeming to notice. You know, there are little things like that. But on a level with Superbad, I think it's at that level, which is a movie that shouldn't be as good as it is. That's just about two kids behaving badly before they graduate.
Right. But for all the reasons you guys have mentioned, it is, if not a great film, certainly a good film, and it's going to be a memorable one also.
Yeah, and I really hope that it's coming out, you know, in the middle of summer movie season. I really hope that people find it, because I think a lot of people are going to like this movie a lot.
And that was Booksmart. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at Her Smell and to hear Nathan talk about the 45th Seattle International Film Festival. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed Booksmart. Let's now move to another movie, this one a rock-steady title, sweatily enough, Her Smell. After that, we'll listen as Nathan shares his experience attending the 2019 Seattle International Film Festival. But first, Elizabeth Moss, she of such television series as The West Wing and HBO's The Handmaid's Tale, stars as Becky Something, the lead singer of the Riot Girl-type trio called Something She. When we first see her, Becky is in full breakdown mode, her current mania fueled by drugs and drink. Writer-director Alex Ross Perry cross-cuts between the Becky of now and the woman of then, when she and her bandmates, Allie and Marielle, are seen enjoying their first success. Eventually, though, karma intrudes. With his camera intruding on the action so closely we can almost catch the scent both of scent and desperation, Perry affects a rocker movie-making style that proves nearly as exhausting to watch as Becky herself, no doubt, would be to work with.
And unless this is a very good year, this movie will be very high up on my year-end top 10 list.
Well, let's hope that it is much better than this.
I love this movie, and I know that it is not going to be to everyone's taste. I have a feeling that I'm sitting in the room with some of those people right now, but we'll see. The way that this movie is structured, it's basically five vignettes over the course of several years in the life of this woman. And as you say, Dan, right as it begins, he throws us right into the deep end. And I was thinking of John Cassavetes all through this movie because you're up in people's faces, the camera is jittery, it's all over the place, you're trapped backstage with these people, you're trapped in recording studios, you're trapped in green rooms, and you're just watching as this woman spirals out of control and everyone around her is trying to bring her back down to earth and she's not listening. And that's very much in keeping with the previous films that Elizabeth Moss and Alex Ross Perry have made together. They did Listen Up, Philip. They did Queen of Earth, both of which are very challenging movies about very challenging characters. And I think this is the best thing that they've done. It's not a movie that most people are probably going to want to endure because it is, in some ways, an endurance test. But I thought that the first 90 minutes of this movie are so electric and visceral and completely absorbing while being weirdly alienating at the same time. And then he almost cuts the volume completely, and the fourth chapter of this five-chapter film, Her Smell, gets quiet and contemplative and introspective and weirdly heartbreaking before kind of swinging back around again in a cyclical fashion in its final chapter, which I suppose you could even consider an epilogue. And I think as a study in this woman's mania, in the way that she has distanced herself from everybody and everything, I think it's really fascinating, if challenging. And I think as a showcase for Elizabeth Moss, it's unbelievable. I think this is the best work that she's done on film. And she's done some really good work, not just in The Handmaid's Tale, but in something like Mad Men. And she's one of my favorite actresses working. And I you know what? I'm going to be complaining in about 8 months' time or 10 months' time that Elizabeth Moss is not going to get nominated for any major awards. And so I'm going to start that campaign right now.
That's because nobody's going to watch this movie.
Which is too bad. Yeah. In fact, I tried to go back to see it a second time at the Magic Lantern and they'd already pulled it.
Or it could be the Scientology thing.
I mean, that's
another kettle of fish,
right?
The key word that you used there was challenging. I mean, that to me is the absolute best description of Her Smell that's out there. I'll tell you, I just absolutely loathe the first half hour of this film.
Really?
And yes, absolutely. And
well, because you've lived through that with other people.
Yeah, maybe. Let me give Perry, the director, writer-director, and Elizabeth Moss, let me give them credit for at least one thing. I was tremendously moved at the scene in the middle of the movie where she sits down at a piano and she does a cover of Bryan Adams' song, Heaven, singing to her little daughter.
It's stunning.
And it stopped me cold. Yeah. I went, okay, the torture of that first half hour to 45 minutes was worth it for
because
this
moment. Because you have to have gone through the ringer with this woman in order to get that.
That's true in some respects. I have always liked Elizabeth Moss going all the way back to West Wing and Top of the Lake and you know, all of these other things that she's done apart from The Handmaid's Tale. I mean, she's an amazing talent. The problems I have with it, we never know, does she have substance abuse issue? Does she have bipolar disorder? I mean, we never find out what's really going on. I wanted a little bit more there. And then also, her lines were written in this almost Shakespearean fashion. And then
the
other characters in the show would have these complete mundane throwaway lines. So I found it to be really uneven in that regard.
I see that as kind of like she's a legend in her own mind, and she's almost fashioned this this persona. Yeah,
right.
I mean,
Courtney
she is
Love sort of character.
Oh, there's a lot of Courtney Love, and I was reminded of those scenes that we saw in that Kurt Cobain documentary where it's Kurt and Courtney just zonked out of their mind, you know, trying to cut their baby's hair. I mean, there are scenes like that in this movie. It's harrowing, and you want to see this woman succeed, but at the same time, I mean, she's awful in a lot of ways. Yeah. And I find that refreshing in a way that Perry is willing to go out on a limb and give us these characters where he almost dares you to want to follow them into the abyss.
But you would agree. I think most people would find it to be a little painful. I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But so just be prepared. But yeah, I thought it was worth watching as well.
I love this. And I know that most people probably won't.
And that was Her Smell. Let's close by inviting Nathan to talk film festival, specifically the 45th Seattle International Film Festival. Now, not everything gets bigger and better every year. We all know that. But over the decades, SIFF has put that axiom to the test. This latest version of Seattle's annual celebration of cinema is a case in point. Between its opening date, May 16th, and its final night, June 9th, SIFF 45 will have screened more than 400 films from nearly 90 countries to some 140,000 plus movie fans. Nathan, we're proud to say, was one of them.
Yes, and I saw 11 movies in 3 days, so I'm still a little punch drunk from that.
That explains your opinion of Her Smell.
I saw that long before I went to SIFF, my friend. Okay, I just want to talk about a few of the high-profile movies I saw, movies that I think for sure people will actually be able to see, hopefully in the short term. I want to start with the movie that I was most excited to see this year at SIFF, and that was The Nightingale. And this is the sophomore feature by director Jennifer Kent, who you probably know best as the director of The Babadook, the Australian horror film that has become a big kind of cult sensation in the years since it came out.
I've never seen it.
The Babadook is terrific, one of the most confident debuts of recent years. And this is an example of a filmmaker really taking the craft that they learned in the first film and doubling down on it, because this is a big...
Which is uncommon.
It's a big epic Western of a movie. And to just kind of give you a brief plot synopsis, it's about an Irish woman who is living as an indentured servant, essentially, for a bunch of British soldiers during the Civil War. And in a really horrific opening scene, experiences some trauma, I'll say that, and then goes about trying to exact her revenge. So this is a movie that follows a pretty standard rape revenge plot, and yet it offers almost none of the catharsis that you expect from it. It is a brutal film about the brutal things that man, especially white man, is capable of. It's really tough. The guy that presented the movie said, you're going to go through the ringer with this one, and you definitely do. So it's not for everybody. It's a challenging one, but I thought it was really impressive. I look forward to, but also dread, seeing it again. I also want to mention a movie that we'll actually be talking about in a couple of weeks, and that's called Late Night. It's supposed to be out in a couple of weeks from Amazon, and it stars Emma Thompson as the only female late night talk show host on a network. So it already exists in a fantasy land, because... That does not exist right now.
Samantha Bee is the only one
not on a network.
Well, Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, also right. not on one of the major networks. And she basically sees her job is on the chopping block. She also realizes that her writer's room is a bunch of white dudes. And so she, in desperation, hires a writer played by Mindy Kaling, who has really no experience in comedy whatsoever, but she just needs that diversity hire. And the whole movie is about Mindy Kaling trying to prove herself in the writer's room, trying to prove herself to Emma Thompson. And Emma Thompson, who is always at an icy remove from the audience, trying to warm them up to her. I like this a lot. It's formulaic, but it's really nice. And then the newest film from director Lynn Shelton, which is called Sword of Trust, about two women played by Michaela Watkins and Jillian Bell. They're a couple that find that Jillian Bell's grandfather has left behind a Confederate sword that apparently proves that the South didn't secede, that the South actually – or didn't concede, that they actually won the Civil War. And it's kind of about the conspiracy theories around that. Mark Maron is also
a Seattle filmmaker.
Lynn Shelton is a Seattle filmmaker. She's in the film alongside comedian Mark Maron. That is an interesting movie. I hope we can talk about that when it actually comes out. But IFC Films will be distributing that one, so look out for that.
And that was Nathan's review of the 2019 version of the Seattle International Film Festival. And this is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster, and early in the show, Nathan, Mary Pat Truthart, and I discuss Booksmart and Her Smell.
Let's take this moment to thank Jim Tavenant for both producing and engineering the show, and we thank you to our loyal listeners. And we invite you specifically back next week, same time, same spot in the radio dial, when we'll again do our best to seek out quality film. Until then, remember these words from the feminist and author Judith Butler. Masculine and feminine roles are not biologically fixed, but socially constructed. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.